Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
A sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Wake up to the sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Well, good evening, everybody. And this is Donald Hartley, known as the Catholic Defender. And John's not here tonight because he's doing deeper truth work tonight. So he's not going to be able to make it tonight. But I've got the show tonight. And we're talking about Our Lady of Good Success, a message for our time. From 1594 to 1634, in Quito, Ecuador, a Conceptionist sister who would become the Venerable Mother Mariana de Jesus Torres received apparitions from the Mother of God that were approved by the local bishop during her lifetime. In 1906, when her casket was opened, her body was found to be incorrupt and was redolent of the fragrance of lilies. And so her story has a dramatic beginning. In 1566, at the age of 13, she left her homeland of Spain with her aunt to found a Conceptionist order in Quito, under the authority of Philip II. On the voyage over to Ecuador, a great storm arose, and a seven-headed serpent, Satan, arose from the sea to oppose the women on their mission. Then Our Lady appeared during the storm with the Christ child holding a cross that had a lance at the end of it. She slew the serpent, and the waters became calm. And to this day, the sisters in this order wear a badge to commemorate this event. Later in 1582, she saw the tabernacle door open and Christ emerge in his sufferings at Calvary. While the mother cried tears of pearls, Mariana asked if she was to blame for this, and Our Lady replied, "No, not you, but the criminal world of the 20th century." Wow. Excuse me. Mariana then heard the voice of the Father and saw three swords over the head of Christ, which represented punishment for the 20th century and beyond. Their names were, "I will punish heresy, I will punish blasphemy, I will punish impurity." The Mother of God asked Mariana to suffer for the sins of the 20th century, and she consented. The three swords then fell from the head of Christ and plunged into Mariana, who died and then stood before the judgment seat of Christ. She was judged blameless and then given a choice: remain in heaven or return to earth and suffer for the sins of the 20th century. She chose the latter and was miraculously resurrected on December 8th, 1634, the archangels Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael appeared to Mariana with the Queen of Heaven, and Gabriel was carrying a ciborium filled with hosts. Our Lady then predicted events over 200 years into the future for the reign of Pius IX. His pontificate infallibly will be declared a dogma of the faith by the same Pope chosen to proclaim the dogma of the mystery of my Immaculate Conception. And he will be imprisoned by the Vatican by the unjust usurpation of the pontifical states through the antiquity, envy, and reverence of an earthly monarchy. So we're talking about Hitler. So this is, but she warns all seven of the sacraments would come under attack in different ways. It will be difficult to receive the sacrament of baptism and also that of confirmation. The devil will make a great effort to destroy the sacrament of confession by means of people in positions of authority. There will be an unspeakable profanation of the Eucharist, of the Holy Eucharist in our time. The enemies of Jesus Christ, instigated by the devil, will steal consecrated hosts from the churches so that they may profane the Eucharistic species. My most holy Son will see himself cast upon the ground and trampled upon by filthy feet. That's what Our Lady is warning here in the 20th century. And we have seen these things. And in the United States, we've had black masses take place and propagated. And Catholics by the thousands came out in protest to defend our Lord in the Eucharist. But people in our government is behind all this, unfortunately. And this is, we've got to pray. Pray, 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 as Our Lady would say. I have Kathy from Missouri. Kathy, what do you think of this so far?
Now, there's a lot of stuff there, Donald. I've read about that apparition before, and I have never heard some of that. It's pretty amazing.
It is very amazing. It's shocking. Well, how you been doing there, yeah. Kathy?
I'm doing good. Keeping busy.
Keeping busy. And I know you got some little ones. And, you know, in our radios, in our shows every day, we pray for children. And I know you take care of children. And thank you so much for what you do in teaching and instructing children under your care. Thank you, Kathy.
I love the children. And is there anybody else on the show tonight?
Well, we've got Doc here. Hey, Doc, how you doing?
I am doing good, I guess. I'm getting by. My mother died. And
oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I am too. I heard about it about 4 or 5 months after the fact. She died in Michigan, and I just found out about it. She died in March, and I just found out about it Friday.
Well,
so I've been dealing with that.
I understand. Doc, here's us saying,
yeah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God our Father, your power brings us to birth. Your providence guides our lives. And by your command, we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change, but do not end. I pray and hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all the dead known to you alone, in company with Christ, who died and now lives. May they rejoice in your kingdom, where all our tears are wiped away. Unite us together again in one family to sing your praise forever and ever. And Lord, you commanded us to honor our father and mother. Have compassion and your mercy on my father and mother. Forgive them their sins and grant that we may see them in the joy of eternal brightness through Christ our Lord. And eternal rest granted to them. O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May the soul of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. And we share this prayer every day in our show, every day. We pray. And Jesus said this in John chapter 16:20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. And so, and that for this individual, Doc, that you just presented. And also, I understand too, I remember, Kathy, your mother. So that also, all of our loved ones that have passed before us. And so all that's for all of those out there in Deeper Driven, everybody who've lost family members. So God bless you.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing that, Doc. And thank you, Kathy.
Well, she's better off now than where she was. I mean, she had a lot of health problems. But, you know, good thing is she's definitely Catholic now, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I'm good with it. I mean, you know, like I said, she had a lot of health issues, and she's in a much better place now than we are. So.
But I got some good news.
Anyway.
I got some good news. I got some great
okay.
news. My wife and I, Gigi, just learned tonight that we have a grandchild that is going to be born in the Philippines. We have a new granddaughter that will be born.
Woo-hoo!
And the name is going to be Scarlett.
Ah.
They're going to name it baby Scarlett. Oh, and so Gigi was so excited that just right before showtime, she called me, Don, you got a minute. You got a minute. You got it before showtime. So I went down, and she showed me. And Matt, our son there, he basically, I guess the color of the smoke that came showed him as a daughter. So that they just announced what it was going to be. And so that, oh, gosh, Gigi is higher than a kite.
I bet.
I went down there and I just gave her a hug and I gave her a kiss. I just said, congratulations there, Grandma.
I bet she loved that.
Oh, she did. Yeah. She did. She's yes, it's so exciting. It is so exciting.
Getting back to the show, though, the miracle there, when you talk about the sacraments being under attack, that can't be more true. I mean, all seven sacraments have been rewritten and have been under attack for the last 60 years. And we need to go back to the old ways. That's all I can say on that. The attacks against the church from within are what's really troubling. And you know, Fulton Sheen said it's going to be the laity that saves the church, not the priests, not the priesthood, the laity, us, the church militant. And it's time that we start taking back our church and standing up for what's right and standing up for the church.
Well,
and the good laity,
the
and the good priests that are out there.
Oh, and there are many. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. And we pray for our priests in our daily shows as well. Now, just hold tight because I'm going to give you some messages of Our Lady. And then, Kathy, you, and then, Doc, I would like for you to comment on some of these messages. Here's a message that Our Lady gave to Mother Mariana. She says, thus I make it known to you that from the end of the 19th century and from shortly after the middle of the 20th century in what is today the colony, excuse me, that would be the United States, and will then be the Republic of Ecuador, the passions will erupt, and there will be a total corruption of customs, for Satan will reign almost completely by means of the Messianic text. They will focus principally on the children in order to sustain this general corruption. Woe to the children of these times. Kathy, what do you think of that message?
I was listening to Father Jim Blunt because he went down to Ecuador to the place of Mariana de Jesus Torres and to see her incorrupt body. He actually, the nuns actually let him touch her, and so out of respect, he only touched her foot. And when he was down there, he said that the whole place was, the outside of that place, there was witches practicing the occult right outside. It was surrounded by the debauchery of Satan. And he actually offered them miraculous medals, and he said the one witch there was like, ooh, yeah, and she took it. He says we have to reach out to everyone, but, yeah, it's like Satan is surrounding that place. He hates. But
well,
they tried to
take
that. They tried to take that place. The government tried to take it away several times, but they can't destroy it. God won't allow it.
I will tell you this, Kathy. When I was stationed in New Orleans, my wife and I had gone to the Catholic cathedral there, a church there, and around that church, well-known church and well-visited church, they had occult, all kinds of occult paraphernalia surrounding it as well. And, I mean,
yeah.
It was just... And, of course, you know, I went in there, and I would be challenging them all the time. Oh, you better believe it. You know I did. But what you described, I think it's interesting. Did you notice that the seven-headed serpent was seen by Mariana when she was 13 years old? Yes, when they were in a boat. And we see that seven-headed snake in Revelations chapter.
Yeah, this apparition is all about the end time. And she suffered way back then for us now. Because this is the fight. And I believe that all the everything's going to be restored and renewed.
Well, Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, and another portent appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns. And I just, this vision that Our Lady gave to Mother Mariana, and it was Our Lady that conquered this Satan, this devil. And in our times, Doc, what do you think about this?
Well, I hope she does fix it back soon. You know, I mean, I follow a lot of social media, and what's going on in California is evidence of this. They passed a new law saying that if one parent says, no, you're not going to change my son into a daughter, they'll get him on child abuse, and they'll give the child to the other parent who says, yeah, you can change my son into a daughter. You know, I mean, it's diabolical. I don't know how the families in California are allowing this. I don't know why they're not storming the Capitol and running these Satanist politicians out on a rail. You know,
wow.
This
not
is
only
insane.
That, they best be careful who they have children with.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
That is
but,
very
you know
true.
I mean, they I mean, we need God back. I mean, the parishioners need to show God that we're worth it. I mean, remember when he was talking about sacrifice? If you find 10 good men, will you spare the city? Well, at the rate we're going, God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I don't know about you, but I've checked, and I haven't seen God apologize for much, because he gets it right the first time. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I'm with you. Now, here's another message. This is what Our Lady says. How deeply I grieve to manifest to you the many enormous sacrileges, both public as in secret, that will occur from profanation of the Holy Eucharist. The enemies of Jesus Christ, instigated by the devil, will steal consecrated hosts from the churches, but that they might profane the Eucharistic species. So, Kathy, what do you say about it? What is your thoughts on this?
It makes me really mad. It makes me angry. Did you see that cardinal? Was it a cardinal or a bishop? Gave that sheik, who was not even Catholic, the Eucharist in the hand, and he did not consume it. He just walked off with it.
Wow.
And that was on. I mean that. Yeah.
You know, that's another reason why I like the Latin Mass. You don't get it in your hand. You take it on the tongue. You know.
That's the way.
That's
we
the way
it
you're
at
supposed
our church.
To get it. You
exactly.
Know?
On
I mean,
your knees.
Yeah,
on your knees.
On and, you know, I mean, I was a Eucharistic minister for a long time. I know you are too, Don. But the fact of the matter is, I shouldn't have been. Because the more I researched it and everything like that is, my hands aren't consecrated. I'm not worthy to touch the Eucharist with my hands. Only the priest. You know, there have been reports of people that have come back from or had vision. I don't know what saint it was, but they had visions of people in hell, and you could see, she could tell who the priests were. Because the mark of their consecration was in them. And she said there was a lot of priests in hell.
Yeah, and
their
hands
if you're
burned.
A priest, that should scare you.
And their hands burned. Well, the road to hell is paved with the skulls of the bishops.
Yeah.
That's been... I will tell you this. While I was in war zones, in the absence of a Catholic priest, to the archdiocese of the military, I was given that ability to take the Eucharist to soldiers in battle in the absence of a Catholic priest.
In a combat situation, it's different, Don. You and I both know that. But for general Sunday night mass or Sunday morning mass here in, you know, middle America, USA, no. It's not appropriate. It never was. You know, I've seen Eucharistic miracles. They come in, they take their work gloves off and go handle the host. Yeah, I mean, there's no reverence whatsoever. I worry for the kids. I worry for the children of tomorrow.
I tell you this. I have Holy Communion here that I'm going to be giving to Gigi just right after this because Gigi is homebound. She's not able to go to Mass. And so I'm able to bring Holy Communion for her. And when the sacristan is getting me Holy Communion to put in the pyx, and they genuflect reverently before the tabernacle when they place the Eucharist in the pyx, and then they bring it to me. And and then I would just tell the lady or the gentleman, I will say that your genuflection is more special than the genuflection that was St. Anthony's, that came from St. Anthony's mule. they love that. But I'm just saying that we're showing reverence. And I think that because of the leadership of our priest, that makes the big difference. And we have a great priest, and we have a great bishop, Bishop Nauman in Kansas City, Kansas. He is one of the great ones, and I'm so thankful. So here's another message. But in those times, you will already be known, as well as the favors that I am bestowing on you, referring to Mariana. And so that's a message to Mariana. And so this poor country will lack the Catholic spirit, the sacrament of extreme unction, and will be little valued. Many people will die without receiving it, either because of the negligence of their families or misconceived affection for their sick ones. So that's what Our Lady is telling Mariana. And what do you have any thought on that, Kathy?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Our priest this morning gave a homily on the sacrament, and he said that a soul with even a little bit of speck of repentance and the anointing of the sick, the last rite, is saved. He said, we need to, you know, the reason for the sacraments is for souls to be saved. And he talked about the negligence of people that don't get their loved ones, don't call for the priest. He said it's very, very important, and that's why when they call me, I go immediately. And that just kind of made me think of that. And he said that any
Amen.
Soul that wears the brown scapular and says the rosary every day will not suffer the pains of hell. He said, you know, guaranteed.
Well, that's reassuring.
Yeah.
I had an experience a few years back when I was still working the ambulance. I went to this resident. Old lady had passed in her bed. She had a rosary in her hand. You know, she was, you know, a lot of religious memorabilia in her room. The family was a little more modern, you know, not a whole lot of Catholic decor. And my job at that point was to, excuse the expression, bagger and tagger. Put her in a body bag, take her out of the house. That way the family can get on with the grieving. I refused to do it until a priest came. I told him I can't move her. She needs a priest. I saw that rosary, and that's what needed to be done. And it was kind of a hardship for the department because it was Fort Campbell, and we only had two active ambulances, and this tied up one of the ambulances. But it was the right thing to do. I don't regret doing it at all. And later on, the family came to me and told me that the thought of calling a priest, and this is what struck me so much about this, the thought of calling a priest had never entered their mind, and they thanked me for bringing it up to them, for mentioning it to them, because they were so struck by her death. And, you know, I had a feeling they knew it was coming, but we've gotten so worldly that we don't even think about that, you know?
Well, I can identify, because, Doc, when my mother was on her deathbed, and she was on, because Gigi and I was getting ready to leave home there in Humansville, Missouri, and my mother was asleep, and I got a message from my brother that my mother had the raspy breathing that was taking place. And so we headed back home before, because I was getting ready to go to Iraq. And so I was having to go back to Fort Hood. prepared to go to Iraq, but we went back because of my mother's declining health there. And when we got there, I started doing rescue breathing, one breath per 5 seconds, praying the rosary as I was doing so. And Jesus was listening for the breath sounds with a stethoscope as we were doing this. And we were revived. Mother survived to get to the hospital. And at the hospital, we had her. She had, she was on life support. But we elected to take her off that life support. And she continued to breathe. But I called for the priest to come and give her the anointing of the sick. And he came and gave her the anointing of the sick. And that morning, my mother passed. And so I was given a week extension on my leave. So I got to go to Iraq 1 week. I was on the, I went 1 week because they let me go to the funeral. And that was so wonderful. And my mother loved a song that Gigi sang for her, the song called The Miracle of the Rosary that Elvis Presley sang. And my wife sang that song for my wife. And they allowed her, the priest allowed her to sing that at the funeral. And so that was wonderful. But my mother, she received that anointing of the sick. Thank God before she died. And I made sure that the priest was called and came, and he did. And I understand exactly where you're coming from. And so, well, as for the sacrament of matrimony, which symbolizes the union of Christ and his church, it will be attacked and deeply profaned. Freemasonry will be then in power. And now consider Obama and Biden and members of the United States Supreme Court. These will enact laws with the aim of doing away with this sacrament, making it easy for everyone to live in sin, and encouraging the procreation of illegitimate children born without the blessing of the church. The Catholic spirit will rapidly decay. The precious light of faith will gradually be extinguished, until there will be an almost total and general corruption of customs. And this effects of these effects of secular education, which will be one reason for the death of priestly and religious vocations. And so, Kathy, what do you think of this?
This is a current event.
Yes. Yes, coming from Our Lady.
They don't have any children. They don't even, like, people are like, we're building a baby tower for so-and-so because her and her boyfriend are having a baby, and they live with so-and-so's mom right now. They live in their basement, and it's all cool. Let's just celebrate this. And I'm like, parents have no moral standing. I have not allowed other people's children to move in here with my children, and I have not allowed my children, not that they would, go live with somebody else's. Don't let your daughter's boyfriend move into her bedroom. I mean, what the frick is wrong with you? The best thing for your child is for them to take time, not live in their passions, but use their brain and not just their body and plan their future. What a career. You got to have a career. You got to go to college. How about you take 5 minutes and decide if this boyfriend that your daughter's sleeping with, let's have a talk about his virtue and his moral standing and whether he's going to make a good father and husband, because your career, your husband's career, is supposed to be at the service of the family. And the mother's main job is supposed to be at the service of the family. And so why don't we talk about that for a little bit, and why don't we plan for that a little bit instead of just sleeping around and that just happens. But we got to plan this career and this college that we're going to run off to so we can lose our souls.
I agree with you. I mean, the sacrament of marriage in Vatican II was gutted. They took all masculinity out of it 100%. And it now it's a contract. It's not an oath. It's basically a contract, and contracts can be broken. So people go in. I mean, now you can get married at the courthouse for $10 or $50 or whatever it is. You know, I mean, I got married in a Nova Sorta church, but it was about as traditional as it could be because we didn't know about the Latin Mass back then. And from my perspective, you know, Sean's my wife. She'll always be my wife. She was always my wife. And when we got together in the church, that solidified that, and the two do become one. And it doesn't matter what happens in the rest of the world. Me and my wife and our children that come from that marriage, that's our world. Maybe I'm butchering the way I'm supposed to be saying it, but for me, it is a sacrament.
It is a sacrament.
I heard a story about a guy. He was diagnosed with cancer, and part of his problem was he couldn't with his wife anymore. And she immediately wanted a divorce. And they were married for many years, had multiple children. And really? You're just going to drop him like that? That's crazy. What I told him was, because the man said, no, I'm not going to give you a divorce, but you can get a boyfriend. And he's like, how could my father do that? And I'm like, you don't know what was going through his mind. You don't know because you're not him. I'm not making excuses for the guy, but you're not responsible for the sins of your parents. But I feel my heart goes out to that whole family because there's a lot of issues in there. But, marriage at once upon a time, it meant something. Till death do us part meant something. Now it doesn't. And that goes back to the gutting of the sacrament in Vatican II. It's evidence to a blind man in a blizzard. It's got to be. Before that, marriages went the distance. Now, you're lucky if you get 10 years.
Well, I tell you, now, I'm thankful for my wife. My wife is God's greatest gift given to me in this life. Through the church.
I agree with you there.
I'm so thankful for her. I'm thankful.
You lucked out with Jeannie.
Now,
you really did.
Oh, yes, I did. Now, okay, hold tight. The sacrament of holy orders will be ridiculed, oppressed, and despised. For in this sacrament, the Church of God and even God himself is scorned and despised, since he is represented by his priests. The devil will try to persecute the ministers of the Lord in every possible way. He will labor with cruel and subtle institutes to deviate them from the spirit of their vocation and will corrupt many of them. And this is what Mary says. These depraved priests who will scandalize the Christian people will make the hatred of bad Catholics and the enemies of the Catholic Church fall upon all priests. Kathy, you have any thought on that?
Again, we're doing current events. So, I mean, honestly, guys, I'm at the apocalypse. I mean, that's where we're at.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're just waiting for the ball to drop. It's time. like, we're like at 11:59 and 59 seconds, and all hell's going to break loose, literally. And so all I can say to our listeners out there is you better be ready. You better be prayed up. You better be saying your rosary every day. Better stockpile you a little bit of food. And remember, all your stupid neighbors are not going to stockpile any food, so you better stockpile a little bit for them if you don't want to see them starve. And
teach them how to plant and hunt. Yeah.
Around here, once people start to go hungry, they're going to hunt it out. It's going to be hunted out quickly. So get you some little rabbits if you don't have, you know, a field for cows. And and rabbits breed quickly, and they're not half bad. So,
you know, hearing these predictions, it sounds like she was one of the co-authors on that book, Lex Oriente. Y'all have heard me speak of this before, where it does the comparison between the Latin Mass and the New Order Mass, the New World Order Mass. And the priesthood took one of the hardest hits of all in that. I mean, the sacraments, all of our sacraments were robbed. We were robbed. That's the easiest way I can say it. We were robbed. And, you know, like I said earlier, the priests have a mark on their hands. So even after they're defrocked, they still have that. And they carry that with them into the next realm. And I'll tell you what, I know I got punishment coming to me, but I pity them. I do from the bottom of my soul, because what they got coming to them is just going to be horrendous. Nothing compared to what I got coming, you know. And I feel so sorry for them because, you know, I was laying in the hospital and this guy came in. He was supposedly a priest, came to bring me the Eucharist. He had rainbow pins all over him, and he's trying to talk me out of being a Catholic. He's like, are you sure you want to be a Catholic? I'm like, I threw him out of the room. I'm like, who is this guy? You know, I mean, he's supposed to be a priest, and he's trying to dissuade me away from the church. I mean, and that's who we're, those are our shepherds? No, I don't think so. There are good ones out there, and there are many coming through right now. There's a place in Kentucky where they got a priory, and they're cranking priests out. And these are old school priests, Latin Mass priests. You know, the management's trying to shut us down, but the laity aren't going to allow it. We're not going to allow it. We won't go silent into that good night. You can't have the world. You can't have Mother Church.
We've got great priests here in Kansas, where I'm at, in our diocese. We've got an outstanding bishop, Archbishop Nauman. He's special, and we're thankful for him. And many priests. We are. Okay, here's the next one. This apparent triumph of Satan bring enormous suffering to the good pastors of the church. The many good priests and the supreme pastor and vicar of Christ on earth, who a prisoner in the Vatican will shed secret and bitter tears in the presence of his God and Lord, beseeching light, sanctity, and perfection for all the clergy of the world, of whom he is the King and Father. And this is what Our Lady said. Further, in these unhappy times, there will be unbridled luxury, which will ensnare the rest into sin and conquer innumerable frivolous souls who will be lost. Innocence will almost no longer be found in children, nor modesty in women. In this supreme moment of need of the church, the one who should speak will fall silent. You will see from heaven, my beloved daughter, where you can no longer suffer, but your daughters and successors will suffer. Those beloved souls already known to you who will placate the divine ear, they will have recourse to me under the invocation of Our Lady of Good Success, whose statue I ask and command that you have made for the consolation and preservation of my convent and of the faithful soul of that time. An epoch will there, that when there will be a great devotion to me, for I am Queen of Heaven under many invocations. This devotion will be the shield between divine justice and the world to prevent the release of God's formidable punishments that this guilty earth deserves. What do you think of that there? Do you have any thought there, Kathy?
Yeah, so like Doc was saying, like the lady are not going to allow this to happen. But, you know, this is the passion of the church. It's going to go so far, it's going to seem like the church has died. And then on the third day, she's going to resurrect. And it's going to be like never before. And we're going to see some things like the destruction of churches, sacking of the Eucharist, you know, things that are going to horrify us. But you got to think of it in the light of how God sees it. Anything destroyed on earth, he can rebuild in an instant, just with a thought, just with a word. And so it's going to be a glorious resurrection and then a new heaven and a new earth, you know, and then we're going to have this era of peace for our children and grandchildren. And they're going to live like never before with all of the sacred and everything restored. And that's what we need to look forward to. I'm actually excited about it.
Me too.
Well, Our Lady said that in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And so, you know, it's going to be a fight.
You know, Christ himself said the gates of hell will never prevail against the church, but he didn't say anything about infiltration. And, you know, I look at a lot of these kids today, they don't have the hardships that their parents had coming up. And, you know, you got kids now, they see these nice big houses that parents live in. They don't realize their parents worked 50 years to get that house. You know, and a lot of parents started out with nothing, and you know, so they don't appreciate what they have. And the only way to truly appreciate what you have sometimes is to lose it. So I think that kind of goes what you were saying there, Kathy. We're going to lose a lot. We've lost a lot. We're going to lose a lot more, but we'll never lose it all. And it will come back, and maybe when it does, people will actually appreciate it this time.
Well, all the evil people are going to, like, it's not good. It's not. They either repent, and they better be doing it now, because the end is not good for them.
No, it ain't.
And, you know, I've done a lot of wrong in my life, and there'll be a lot of reckoning for the wrong I've done and for the mistakes I've made, but I love Jesus, and he loves me. And he will take care of me and my family. I have no doubt. He said, "Have faith in him, in his protection," and I do. And so,
but the divine mercy, the divine
need to get
mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
I say
now,
that every day.
Next, amen. In the next apparition, in February of the same year, Our Lady, she responds to Mother Mariana's request to have her identity hidden in connection to the creation of the statue. Our Lady requested in her honor, she reiterates some points from the first message. As for your request that your name be hidden, this pleases me, and I will do as you have asked. Tell the bishop that it is my will and the will of my most holy son that your name be hidden at all costs, both within as well as with outside the cloister. for it is not fitting for anyone at the present time to know the details or origin of how this statue came to be made. And this is what Our Lady says, for this knowledge will only become known to the general public in the 20th century. And here we are on Deeper Truth sharing this. During that epoch, the church will find herself attacked by terrible hordes of the Messianic sect, and this poor Ecuadorian land will be agonizing because of the corruption of customs, unbridled luxury, the impious press, the secular education, the vices of impurity, blasphemy, and sacrilege will dominate in this time of depraved desolation. And that one who should speak out will be silent. And I think we know who that is right at this point.
That's the
yes.
Pope. And we should be praying for him right now because,
you know,
he's responsible for 1 billion souls. And there's a bunch of people that are asking that we pray the St. Joseph Holy Cloak Novena for him for 30 days, probably up until they have this vote at the Synod, which I think we can see where this is going. And so I started praying that just
wow. Amen. Well, okay. We're about to finish here, but I just thought I'd a simple, humble faith in the truth of my apparitions to you, my favorite child, will be reserved for humble and fervent who are docile to the respirations of grace. For our Heavenly Father communicates his secrets to the simple of heart and not to those whose hearts are inflated with pride, pretending to know what they do not, or infatuated with empty science. Wow. In order to free men from bondage to these heresies, those whom the merciful love of my most holy Son will be destined for those for that restoration will need great strength of will, constancy, valor, and confidence in God to test this faith and confidence of the just. There will be occasions in which everything will seem to be lost and paralyzed. This will be then the happy beginning of the complete restoration. Hence, the purpose of deeper truth. Hence, the purpose of deeper truth. Humble ourselves and pray daily Our Lady's Rosary. And Kathy, do you have any last thoughts?
Yes, I agree, Donald. Everybody needs to pray the Rosary and pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet and trust in God's promises. Do not be afraid. We are children of our King and Lord Jesus Christ and of our Queen Mother, and we trust in them, and there is no reason to be afraid. Don't worry about those that kill the body, only those that kill the soul. Amen.
Nice.
And you know, this last piece is, this last piece, the spiteful demon would try to sow discord, making use of putrid members who mass by the appearance of virtue would be like decaying sepulchers, emanating the pestilence of purification. Putrefaction, causing moral death in some and lukewarmness in others. And members here in Deeper Truth, and Kathy, I know you're one, have been attacked by John Banco and the four persons with their evil attacks upon Our Lady of Medjugorje, which Pope St. John Paul II and Father Amorth the Vatican. The Vatican's great exorcist who said that Medjugorje was a fortress against Satan. And you know how John Banco went after you, Kathy. You remember that?
I don't even think about him, Donald. I could care less.
I'm with you there.
But
some
I just thought the spiteful
don't want to waste your time on.
I don't care about
him.
I never think about him. I prayed for him once or twice when he first started acting up, but after that, not my problem.
Yeah,
now
he's got his own. Go ahead there, Doc.
I mean, these are my final words on all this. This goes out to every Catholic out there. Do your homework. Research your faith. Don't just take it for face value. You know, you have to put in the work, and when you do, you'll see what has happened to the church over the last 60 years, and hopefully you'll be as outraged as I am. And then maybe, just maybe, with our combined righteous outrage, and it is righteous outrage, we can take back Holy Mother Church. You know, we the lady need to do this. So this is a call to arms. That's all I have to say.
Well, and the reason I just presented this last piece, based on what Our Lady warned there about this demon, well, Carl Keating is a great name in the Catholic world, a great apologist, and he has recently been invited by John Banco to appear with him. And so I warned Carl Keating about John Banco. And I'm hoping that Carl Keating will take my warning. And I hope he listened to this show, because Our Lady made this warning as well.
Well, more than likely, Carl will mop the floor with him, and that'll be the end of that. I never did like that term apologetics. I ain't going to apologize. Y'all need one to apologize. I'm following the church set down by Christ himself. God himself did do this, and that's what I'm doing. Any man, woman, or child says I can do it better, you can tell they're lying.
Our priest today, he literally said, I'm just doing what the church has always said to do. And he goes, and if you don't, you might be a Protestant.
Yeah.
And he goes, please don't write downtown about me or you may not have a priest.
Well.
We got a new priest, by the way. He is so funny.
I like him already.
That's, yeah. Well, we're going to have to. I mean, tomorrow, the saint of the day is Saint Cyprian. And so I'm excited about him already. I'm thankful for the lives of these precious saints. And, you know, Saint Ignatius Loyola, after being wounded in battle, was reading the lives of the saints, and it had a huge impact on him. And for me, it's an odyssey, the lives of these saints. So we're going to end tonight. And thank you, Kathy. And thank you, Doc, for your commentary. And thank you for all those listening. And Carl Keating, I hope that you were listening, too. I hope you were. I wish he could have called in. Well, we will end. And so next Sunday, John Carpenter should be back. So God bless.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of Our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Okay, Kathy, can you go ahead and do your ending? Oh, wait a second. Now, Kathy?
Numini Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti, Pater Noster quiescens ele sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo as in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimitte nos debitoribus nostra. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos de malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tua mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, Filio, Spiritui Sancto, Amen. God bless.
Amen. And thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Donald.
Oh, thank you so much. And you too, Doc. And, you know, there's many people out there today in Deeper Truth Land and out there in our society out there. Many have been caught in the eye of the storm. So we'll end. So pray the rosary. Go to Mass. Receive the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity.
Plenty of time. Knock it off.